Good stand over here, but just so much happening up here. It's great. Good morning. My name is John, and I'm the youth pastor here at Pacific Community Church. Woo, whoop. Yeehaw. And I've been told that some of the kids didn't know where the coloring sheets are. They're just right at the back table there, and the head usher, Scott, would love to give you a sheet and some coloring stuff if you would like to go back and grab that right now. And everybody else, I would invite you to stand as we read the Lord's Prayer together. So let's stand, and kids, you can go back, grab one of those sheets. Come on back. All right, let's pray this together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, and we're going to end at the end of the Lord's Prayer. This is the start of our new summer series. We're going to be going through the Lord's Prayer line by line. And I really hope that this is a time, if you have not already memorized this this prayer, that this is a time that you do get the chance to memorize it. So Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. I'm reading from the NIV. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As you can see, the ending in the Bible is different from the ending of which we read here. I'm not sure if you ever thought of why that is. But it was common in Jewish tradition way back when to add your own ending to pre-formulated prayers. And an early church theologian, Tertullian, said that people were adding a whole bunch of different endings to the Lord's Prayer. And as it became more commonly used as church liturgy, a common ending seemed appropriate. And that's where we get this one. It's from 1 Chronicles 29:11. It's a little bit adapted from a prayer that David prayed. So just fun fact to start off with. This morning we're going to be looking at prayer as a whole as we start this summer series in the Lord's Prayer. After we look at prayer, we're going to look at the big picture, the big view of what the Lord's Prayer is all about and how we can apply and learn things from it. Now, kids, I know that you guys are in the service. Super excited about that. Any kids? You guys raise your hand. What's going on? Good to have you guys here. A couple adults putting their hands up. Kids at heart. I like that. Yep. Way to go, Tone. I actually had you written down here, so knew you'd do that. So if you guys want to write or draw on your sheet there, some cool pictures. I'm going to be talking about heaven a little bit. And if you guys draw some cool pictures, I would love to see it after the service. So come and find me and show me what you've drawn. Now, prayer is all around us. And you need only to watch the World Cup to know that that's true. I'm not sure if anybody watched the Dutch-Mexico game last week. Did anybody watch that? That's great. We all know that you weren't in church. But it was interesting, as they were spanning over all the different crowd and the different players, as the Dutch team had a penalty kick in the very final minute of the game, all of these people, and it focused in on one of the Mexican players who's on his knees, visibly praying. And it's always been interesting to me as you see players on both teams praying, and I always wonder, what team is God cheering for? Or which team is praying harder? I'm not sure, but it is interesting how often we see prayer in our society. Following the Boston bombings, two of the trending topics that came about were Boston Strong and Pray for Boston. And the same goes for the recent shootings in Moncton. Pray for Moncton was one of the main trending topics. With such a secular society and so much of religion being pushed out of the media, it continually surprises me how often we see prayer back in the media. I believe that we're wired that way. When something bad happens, we look for help. We look for somebody stronger, somebody smarter, and so we pray. And since we live in the now, but not yet, and we are living by prayer, it's fitting. We are halfway there. Whoa, whoa, we're living on a prayer. Or at least I think that we should be. So let's look at prayer. What is prayer? I think prayer looks different across religions and often looks different person to person, because what your view of God is ultimately going to affect the way that you have conversations with him. Greg Ogden, one theologian, writes, "Prayer is a transparent dialogue. It is a conversation with God in which we address him and in quiet are addressed by him. Prayer is our real, honest conversation with the God of the universe, where we praise him for who he is. We confess things that we have done to hurt him and others. We give thanks for things in our lives, and we ask for his help." This is often broken into an acronym known as ACTS, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Supplication being asking for things, asking for help. And why is it that we pray? It's interesting, in the Bible, just before Jesus gives an example of how to pray, he says, well, God already knows what you're going to ask for, so just keep it short and simple. So if he already knows why we're going to ask, some might even say, has he decided that already? And for this, we can look to passages like Genesis 18 or 1 Kings 18, where God seems to have decided one thing, but after people had prayed, he seems to alter history. So seemingly, God gives us some say in how history is played out. What's more is, as I was researching for this sermon, I looked on a number of different articles online. There are many different articles talking about the benefits of prayer. Not only Christian articles, but a lot of secular articles talking about prayer and meditation and how it's really good for your health. Many have said prayer was good for your health, your relationships, and your mind. So it seems to be really good for you as well. And lastly, I think we should pray because we're called to prayer. We're called to pray throughout the Bible. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We also learn here that we should pray about everything, or at least in everything, in every situation. There's nothing too big or too small for our God. We pray because we have a relationship with God, and having these conversations helps us build that relationship. Now, how often should we pray? Well, we talked earlier about how prayer is a dialogue, and God is always listening. So we can always have a conversation with God in the car, at school, or at work. But in the same way that you might just text a friend during the day, that's never going to replace an actual sit-down conversation over coffee. Jesus would often retreat to places on his own, specifically to pray. And we should mirror that practice. Now, two things before we get into the actual Lord's Prayer. Throughout this series, we will be drawing, myself and Jim and Brian are going to be drawing a great deal from Daryl Johnson's book, 57 Words That Changed the World. It's called this because in Greek, the prayer is 57 words long in the book of Matthew. You can also find another version of the Lord's Prayer in the book of Luke. And the book of Luke has the prayer a little bit shorter, so it's not actually 57 words. I'm not sure how many it is in Greek. But one interesting thing about the prayer in Luke is that the disciples actually ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. In this one, Jesus just seems to tell them already. But teaching them how to pray, they actually don't ask Jesus a lot of things of how to teach him. They don't ask Jesus, teach us how to lead, or teach us how to cast out demons, or teach us how to do that bread thing that you did. Here they ask him how to pray. And possibly it's because they saw what Jesus was doing and knew that it wasn't just him, but that it was because of his relationship with the Father. And they wanted to improve their relationship with God. Now, the prayer in Luke is a little bit shorter, and this isn't a discrepancy, but it's probably that Jesus taught this a number of times, and so would adapt his teaching or his teaching on prayer to the different audiences that were around him. Now, it's also important to look at where we find the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew, it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which is a sermon that we see Jesus talking about turning the other cheek and loving your enemy and praying for those who persecute you. Throughout this sermon, he's continually saying, you have heard it said this, but I tell you this. And at the start of chapter 6, he talks about giving and he talks about prayer. And he says, you've seen it done this way, but I'm telling you, here's how you should do it. And with prayer, he says, don't do it this way. Don't be like the hypocrites. Because they're praying for show. And this is because in their world, there's a ton of people who are out there just praying in public, wanting everybody to see them. He's saying, that's not what you want to do. And secondly, he says, don't be like the pagans who keep on babbling on and on. And this was because they had so many gods that they would just keep repeating prayers to different gods, hoping that something would stick. Here, Jesus is not condemning all long prayers. I really appreciate our prayers of the people, and thank you so much, Bill, for sharing those words. I want you to know that the point of it is not a lengthy prayer to show how spiritual we are as a church, but rather to lift up concerns of our congregation, our neighborhood, and our world. One person speaking on behalf of our whole congregation. Jesus was not condemning all long prayers, but those that were meaninglessly long in his day. So this again, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he's talking, you've seen it done this way, but I'm telling you, this is how it should be done. This is how you should pray. And so what do we learn from Jesus' prayer? What are some initial thoughts? As we go through this summer, we're going to be going through line by line. But what do we learn at first glance? Well, I think first we learn that God should be our primary focus. Jesus wants to teach us, first of all, to pray God's agenda before our own. Oftentimes, we begin our prayers with, "Dear God, please give me this." And those prayers can weigh us down, thinking of all the different things that we have going on in our lives and stresses. When we put our focus on God first and what he is concerned about, it can put things into perspective. Not that it diminishes the things that we're going through, the challenges that we're facing, but that they reorient our focus. So we begin by praising his name, asking his will and his kingdom to be done on earth as it is in heaven. These are all things that only God can do. We can also pray in a way that we are just trying to make the change ourselves. Here, Jesus is praying to God for things that only he can do. Bring your kingdom. Accomplish your will. One theological professor says, the prayer asks for the establishment of the kingdom of God by God for us, not by us for God. So first, I think God should be our primary focus. Second, we learn that God cares about every part of us. As we walk through this prayer, you can see that God cares about each aspect of our humanity. He's not simply concerned about our spirit or our bodies, but all parts of us. Physically, we pray for what we need that day, daily bread, and we ask that his kingdom come down to earth, the earth that we're living on physically. Relationally, we pray for forgiveness, not just from God, but from the people around us as we forgive others. And spiritually, we long for more. We pray, hallowed be thy name. We need to know the one that created us. And also we ask for his help against the evil one because we believe there is more to this life than just the physical world. You see, this prayer teaches us a lot about what God cares about: his glory, his kingdom, and us. And third, when we pray, we are part of God's bigger plan. I think that's another thing we learn from this prayer. Now, we're involved in God's plan the same way a three-year-old kid asks his dad to buy flowers for his mom on Mother's Day. Not that he has any money, but his dad is happy to oblige. You see, you often hear that prayer works, and this is because we are praying to a God and he works. As this prayer begins, we say that God is in heaven. And for many people, that creates this distance of like, God is way up there and I'm way down here. But that's not Jesus' intention. In his day, when he was saying, our God is in heaven, people would have interpreted that God is in the heavens, which meant to them all around us. Deuteronomy 4:7 says this: what other nation so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? Also, when we think of God in heaven, we think of him on his throne, like Revelations, that he is in control. God is on his throne and he is here with us. If this were not so, then the view that prayer might just be some therapeutic thing might be accurate. But instead, we are praying to a creative and loving God who stands with his creation, interacts with us as we pray. And not only that, but the God who is on the throne is our heavenly Father, our perfectly loving heavenly Father, who wants the best for us, who's on our side. And this line that we see in the middle, on earth as it is in heaven, is really the main thrust of this prayer, asking God that his kingdom, his will, would be done on earth as it is in heaven in all aspects of our life. This line at the center of the prayer is also at the center, really, of the Sermon on the Mount, which is all about what happens when the kingdom of God comes down and takes root in our lives here on earth. You see, when we pray, we are part of God's bigger plan. So what does this all mean for us? Here are some questions I want you to ask yourself as you're sitting there looking at this amazing stage of stuff that's been decorated and thinking, how could I be involved in VBS? Here are some questions to ask yourself about your prayer life, about my prayer life. What is your focus when you pray? Is it your will or God's will? When you ask for things, are you really asking, or are you just kind of telling God what you're doing and hoping that he joins you in whatever you're pursuing? Here, Jesus shows us that God needs to be our primary focus. Keep our eyes fixed on him and let everything else follow suit. Secondly, do you set aside time for God? Oftentimes, Jesus would retreat on his own. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. How often do we set aside time to sit and talk with God? How often do we pursue lonely places? We're almost never alone these days. You're always one button away from pretty much everybody you know. And when you have some downtime, you can't just sit there and be alone. You gotta check something or text somebody. How can we pursue alone time with God? So considering those questions, what is your prayer life like? What are your conversations with God like these days? Are you happy with him? Satisfied in him? Are you frustrated? Are you angry? Are you really honest with God about what's going on? He already knows everything, but do you sort of keep things from him, hoping that you don't have to deal with it or walk through it with him? Do your conversations look more like bartering sessions where you say, well, God, if you just do this one thing, oh man, I will go to church every Sunday? Or maybe you feel like your prayer life has gone kind of stale. God, thanks for this and thanks for that. Bless the food, amen. I remember sitting in a group getting ready to pray before our worship practice, and somebody instinctively prayed for that God would bless the food and the hands that prepared it, even though we weren't eating. It became just such a routine that you just pray this, oh, this is my lunchtime prayer, and this is my dinner prayer, and prayer before I go to bed. We need to remember that we're engaging in a conversation, not get saddled with routines. Now, regardless of where you're at with your prayer life, what I appreciate about Jesus' outline here is really it's a prayer for everybody. It's a come as you are prayer. It says, I'm not perfect. I need forgiveness. I need strength and provision every single day. You are God, and I am not. May your kingdom be brought down here on earth as it is in heaven. You see, because as this line on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, is really the center of this prayer, it is the center of God's plan. God sent Jesus down to earth to usher in his kingdom, to share God's love, to pay the penalty that we otherwise couldn't have paid. We conclude our prayers in Jesus' name because it is on his merits that we are able to have a relationship with God. And because of him that we can be saved, because of him that we get to ask for forgiveness, and because of him we're made right in his eyes. Now I'd like to challenge you to something this week, as maybe wherever you're at with your prayer life, is to grab one of the sheets in the back with the Lord's Prayer on it, to stick it on your fridge and to pray that as an outline for your prayers. Maybe that can be your prayer, or start with that and expand on it. Try something different. So they'll be at the back at the end of the service. Now, one thing I really like about coming to work or coming to church on a regular basis is Mount Baker is just standing there all the time. And as I drive up, I constantly look there, and it's really magnificent. It towers over all the other mountains around. And sometimes when I'm driving, it's raining and I don't get to see it. Sometimes I'm driving and there's a big, big truck in the way and I don't get to see it. Sometimes I'm so preoccupied with the things that are happening in my life, I don't even look up. But it's always there. And when I do look up, it's just magnificent. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. God's creation, thank you. And I think that's the same with our prayer life, is we can be going along and we can just marvel at God and say, wow, God, thank you so much. But then other times it's raining, and we don't get to see God. Or there's something in the way that's blocking our view. Or we're just so preoccupied with the things in our life that are just messing everything up that we don't look up. What's great about this come as you are prayer is Jesus is showing us the way. The Holy Spirit is spurring us on, and the Heavenly Father is always listening. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for you are good. And we do ask that your will would be done here on earth as it has been done in heaven. We ask you, Lord, to help us each and every day with the challenges that we face. Help us to be forgiving in the same way that you have been forgiving to us. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us through the struggles that we face, because we are not only in a battle that is physical, but one that is spiritual as well. And I pray, Lord, that as we come to this table, that you would meet us here. Help us to remember who you are, and help us to remember what you've done. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he gave thanks and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Now, if you're visiting with us and you put your faith in Christ, you're welcome to the table. If you haven't put your faith in Christ or made that leap of faith, you're welcome to just stay seated. That's totally fine. The way this works, we start in the back rows and make our way forward. And we have three stations up front. And we come with open hands because we receive Jesus. Pastor Jim and I will serve those who are serving first, and then everyone else can come.